Amar Rav Elazar, all the way Chesem and Beis, all the way at the end of the page, 84. Okay. Amar Rav Elazar says like this. Ha'emir Pesach Pesach Matzasi. If a guy, it's a very funny expression of the Gemara, but the guy says, I found an open passage. Meaning, he lived with his kala for the first time, and he finds out, he says she's not a virgin. That means, it's an open door. Neman La'isra Olav. He is believed that she's not allowed to live with him anymore. Meaning, what he's basically saying is that my wife committed adultery between the kedushin and the wedding. Remember, it was a year apart. So he says, I lived with my wife the night of the wedding. I see she's not a psula, which means that she committed adultery in this year. Now, once a wife commits adultery, she's not allowed to live with her husband. She's not allowed to live with the guy she lived with. Okay? So the husband comes along and he says, the Pesach Pesach Matzasi, and he says, and like Rashi says, he can't be, she doesn't come from a family that had no, what's called Dam Besulim, the hymenal bleeding. She is a normal family that has Dam Besulim, and he says she didn't have, and therefore he's accusing her that it was done from before, after the Kedusha, before the wedding. So the Gemara asks, we'll just get a little bit into the Gemara.
Rashi what?
We'll see in Rashi in a second. So the Gemara says, "Vamai lochera, why is he believed that she should be also to him? Svek sveiko, it's a double doubt. What's the double doubt? Safik tachtov, safik ain't tachtov. Maybe it was done before the Kedushin, then it wouldn't be a problem. Maybe it's done after the Kedushin. And imtim salema tachtov, and even if you think maybe that she lived with somebody after the Kedushin, safik ainis, safik beratz, maybe she was raped. How do you know she willingly did it? Because the wife of a, with the exception of a kohen that we're going to see in a second, a wife, a married wife, a married woman that committed adultery cannot stay married to the husband, and she cannot live anymore with the guy she can't marry the guy she lived with. But if she was, God forbid, raped, so unless if it's the wife of a kohen, she can stay married to the husband. Okay, if it's the wife of a kohen, she can't. But speaking to the Gemara, that's a very simple question. Why does Rabbi Elazar say that if he found Pesach Pesach Matzasi, meaning I found you, she's not a psula, and he's accusing her that it was during the time of the Kedushin, between the Kedushin and the wedding, so Gemara says, why is she also? It's a double doubt. What's the double doubt? Number one, maybe it was done, maybe she lived with somebody before the Kedushin, and then she was never married at that time. Or, and even if it was after the Kedushin, maybe she was raped. We don't know. So why is she usher? What does the woman say, by the way, to this whole story? The woman
nothing.
Doesn't say anything.
She can't say anything. She can't say.
No. The bride is either silent, this is what most of the Shanim learn, or contradicts the husband.
Still it would be name on the usher.
What? So Rabbi Elazar says she's believed that she's also.
What do you mean she's believed?
He's believed.
He's believed.
He's believed. But he's believed that she's also for him. These few lines have a lot of stuff on it. Okay? Just from a few perspectives. So just let's see again. So the Gemara answers, Leitzricha, it's speaking Be'eshes Kayin. You're right. What would this case be then, but she's asur? If it's the wife of a kohen, then it's only one doubt. What's the double doubt? Maybe it was before the Kedushin, maybe after the Kedushin. And if it was after the Kedushin, maybe she was raped. But if it's the wife of a kohen, even if she's raped, she can't stay married. So it's only one doubt. So the din of Rabbi Elazar is only speaking by a wife of a kohen. V'boi seima, or another answer, Ba'eshes Yisro, really it's the wife of a yid. Not a kohen, Yisrael. It's a double doubt. He says, again, the kibul bo avio kedushin b'chusim b'ashol l'shon aviyim echad. That is speaking in a case that the father accepted kedushin for her under the age of 3. Which halachically, in the times of the Gemara, was done. A father accepted the kedushin of a girl under bas mitzvah. Now, the din is a girl under 3. Even if somebody lived with her, her virginity returns.
Not by me, but me, so 3.
3.
No, you said bat.
I said bat mitzvah. Sorry. I said three. I thought I said three. Okay. If a girl is under three, even if somebody lives with her, her virginity comes back. Okay? Now, if the father accepted kedushin for the girl under three, right? There's no way it could have been before the kedushin. Because if she lived with somebody at two, her virginity would come back. So if there's no virginity, it definitely happened after she was three. But the father accepted kedushin for her under three. So again, it's not a double doubt.
I mean, she was 2 years old?
Yeah. When the father accepted kedushin.
She was 2 years old. That 1 year was before three?
Yeah. So let's say. So it had to be after kedushin, because if it was in that year, her virginity would come back anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be after. So it's not a double down anymore. What was the double doubt? Maybe it was before kedushin, maybe after kedushin. And even if it's after kedushin, maybe she was right. But in this case, there's no double doubt. But so the Gemara answers a very interesting answer. Rabbi Lazar's din only applies when there's a single doubt. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a wife of a Kohen, where it's only a doubt, maybe it was before or after Kedusha, but rape is not an issue because it would still be Yosef. Or the or a case where the father accepted Kedusha for her under three.
One doubt goes away, one doubt remains.
Right. So one doubt is a biblical doubt, so it's also a term.
The Chumrah.
Okay? Instead, this is, so far, the Gemara sounds easy, but it's not. Okay, let's see Rashi. Top of the page, Shiv Tes. Ha'emir Pesach Matzasi. The husband comes and says, I found an open door. It's a funny expression. Rashi says, I... The time is domim enlay, okay, kagain, okay, and it's only a big case, mishpachas durkati, sheinu andam besulim, okay, so he says like this, the girl can say, was it bleeding or not? What do you mean, I'm not a psula? Why can't she argue that she was a psula? So speaking either in a case where she comes from a family that doesn't have hymenal bleeding, or nevdimi menemapa, the cloth that they were on got lost. We don't know if it's dam or not, if there was blood or not. Like this one thing he knows, that it was an open door, meaning it went in easily, it was no difficulties, whatever.
So what is the first four lines of Rashi, four words, what does it mean?
L'cheira, why doesn't he say there was no dam? The time is he says Pesach Mitzvah Matzasi, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, why can't he tie it with there's no blood? Why doesn't the guy say, why does he use the expression, I found an open door? Why doesn't he push it say there was no blood? He didn't find any blood. So Rashi answers two things. Either it comes from a family where there's no dam, or they lost the cloth, so he doesn't know.
What is ta'ana damim ein lo?
He can't tie it, there was no blood.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see.
He could tie it. The Rashi is discussing the expression of the Gemara. The guy says, I found an open door. Why doesn't he say there was no blood? Mm-hmm. So Rashi says he can't say that, because either it comes from a family that doesn't have such bleeding, or they had the cloth got lost, so he doesn't know. But one thing he knows for sure, it was an open door, so to speak. So he says, Neman la'esri alav, okay, he's believed that she cannot stay married to him. He says, Afal bishin adav ezeh yochel izbarim, even though there's no way of verifying this, el al piv, only based on what he said himself, l'gabi nafshe hava mehem, and he still believed for himself, l'shavi alecha tichet yisura, that she becomes for him a forbidden thing. But lahapsik subasu lemehem. Rashi says a very interesting thing. Rashi says like this. L'cheira, why is she yosef for him? It's only his word of his mouth. The guy says something, so he said. Right? There's no way of verifying it, because now for sure the door's open. Right? Because he lived with her. So the question is, why is he believed? Just because the guy says he's believed. So Rashi explains, because there's a din in the Gemara, Shavya anafshe, a person can make upon himself chaticha de isura, a forbidden piece of meat. Meaning, if you make a vow on a kosher piece of meat that I will not eat, that this meat is forbidden for me, right? It's only forbidden because you said so. Where do you get the power to make this meat forbidden? Because the Torah says, for yourself, you believed to make something forbidden for yourself, like a vow. So there's a rule in the Gemara. The Gemara's expression is, Rashi quotes, Shavya anafshe. He places upon himself, Chaticha de Isura, a piece of something forbidden. But he's not believed to make her lose the ksuba. Mm-hmm. In other words, the interesting thing, Rashi says, if the guy says, she's not a virgin, that means she committed adultery. Now normally, if it's proven a woman commits adultery, okay, she gets divorced and she doesn't get the ksuba. Because it's proven that she committed adultery. A woman that commits adultery cannot stay married to the husband, and therefore she loses her ksuba. But in this case, he can prove it. There's no way he could prove it. No witnesses that she committed adultery. He's saying, listen, this is what happened, and this is what I'm saying. So he's not believed to make her lose the ksuba, because he has no proof. But he has the ability to make her forbidden on himself, just like a vow makes something kosher forbidden.
But a chaticha is not a human being. She's
that's an expression in the Gemara.
I understand, but I mean,
he makes a piece of meat forbidden.
Okay, we are talking about a human being. How could that be?
It's an expression of the Gemara by anything, not only by people.
Okay, fine.
But that's
but
the expression
of the
Gemara. Shavya nafshi chaticha di isura. He makes her forbidden for him. That's what he does. He makes it forbidden for him. But, therefore you don't need proof. If I don't want to say it, but if I say this cup is forbidden for me to drink, yeah? It becomes forbidden.
But you're not affecting anybody, so it
yes,
can't
it is.
Have an effect. What are you affecting?
For me, she's also.
Yeah, but that water doesn't become affected for somebody else.
She can marry somebody else. If he divorces her, she can marry whoever he wants.
She's not Besula anymore.
So what?
She
cannot, the guy, a
she
person has a right.
Value.
Okay, listen. A person has a right to make something forbidden for himself. You have a right to do that.
Okay.
And that's what he does over here. But he's not believed, Rashi says, to make a loof the ksuva, because he can't prove it. So the Gemara says, Vamai, Rashi continues, Vamai mitzraleo, why is she forbidden, even imamanously, even if we believe him, the nivela that she already committed adultery, but it's a sfek sfek, it's a double doubt. What's the double doubt? Safik tachtov, maybe it was, meaning when he was married to her, mishenisar zinsa, that after the kedushin she committed adultery. Safik ein tachtov, maybe it wasn't before, I mean it wasn't after the kedushin. Elokedim shenisarsa, before she had the kedushin zinsa, she committed adultery. And secondly, safik vainis, maybe she was raped. Why? The Gemara later on, Rashi says that a woman who was, God forbid, a married woman who was raped, is allowed to stay married to her husband. And the Gemara learns that from the pasuk v'inis pasuk. So the Gemara answers, "Be'eshes koyin," is speaking by a wife of a koyin. Sha'enis asid ba, because by a koyin she becomes a zayin, and therefore a koyin cannot stay married to her. There's only the one suffix. Was it done before the Kedushin or after the Kedushin? Right? And because it's a biblical doubt, a woman who committed adultery cannot stay married to the husband biblically. So now it's one doubt. Did it before? Did it after? Right? So then it's a biblical doubt. And it's not a double doubt because it's by a Kain. Or the second answer, Chosim Ivaz Gimel Shanim. It was done less when she was 3 years old. The father accepted Kedushin when she was not 3 years old. Va'achshav hi gedayla, and now she's an adult. U'pitu'eh pitu'i, and her, if you seduce her willingly, she's seduced. Ve'eina einis, and therefore it's not forced. Hilka chat safik ika, there's only one doubt. Safik einis, safik ratzin, whether against her will or not against her will. But Safik Tachtav, Safik Ain Tachtav, but was it before the Kedushin or not? Here, that's no doubt. It was definitely after the Kedushin. Why? She'ilu Nivla Kedem, because if she lived with the guy before 3 years old, her virginity comes back. Like the Gemara says in Nida, Parchas Mikan, less than 3 years old, Kainasin Etzba Ba'ayin. It's like you put your finger in the eye and it causes bleeding, but I got the heels and it comes back. Shadim Yaitzev Chazadis, it comes back and. So the Gemara says like this. We need to elaborate a little bit on what's going on over here. The Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar comes along with the din. Okay? If my guy says, Pesach Pesuch Matasi, I found an open door, it's asr for him. Not, and Rashi says, not lahafsid the ksuba, so this is Rashi's opinion. Okay? Not to make her lose the ksuba, but as far as staying married to him, he's believed. So Gemara asks, okay, it's a double doubt. Maybe it was before Kedusha, maybe after Kedusha, maybe even after Kedusha, maybe she was raped. So the Gemara answers two answers that was only one doubt. I mean, right? Either it's a wife of a Kohen, where Einus is not going to matter anyway, or she had Kedusha before she was 3 years old through her father, and therefore it's definitely after the Kedusha, and therefore the only doubt is, was it raped or not? Okay, and that's it.
Is it still Beis
Din? It's all taking place in Beis Din. Well, what do you think they're arguing?
Claim, but what if the guy who did the rape was a
Yid,
not a
Kohen?
Still, you know.
Asia's claim still
awesome. Yeah. Anyway.
Definition of a Zayna, which in English translates as a prostitute, but it's not halachically. A Zayna is if a woman had relations with somebody she would not be allowed to marry, that relations forbids it to the Kohen. Now, the bottom line is, even if she was raped, okay, God forbid, a woman that was raped by a guy when she was younger cannot marry a kohen. It wasn't willingly. The bottom line is she had relations with somebody, forced or not forced, yeah? That was that she's not allowed to marry, can't marry a guy. So that relations, that rape, God forbid, forbids her to marry a kohen, number one. Now, a married woman, okay, cannot have relations with a man. So if a man rapes her, bottom line, right now, this woman had relations with somebody she would not be allowed to marry, because she's married. She can't marry this guy. Okay, God forbid, incest, if a brother had relations with a sister, or a father, God forbid, with a daughter, because they're not allowed to marry a brother, or any people that you're not allowed to marry, any of the relatives, that relations forbids her to marry a kohen.
That's the zona.
That's the definition of a zayna. A woman that was with 100 Jew men before she got married can marry a kohen.
She's only a kadesha.
She's not. She whatever.
But that would be the
gedder. Not a kadesha. She is what she is.
She's not married.
But then she can marry a kohen.
That when there is one suffix, the oraita, she's also,
right.
And everybody holds that. That and there is machloket on that.
No suffix that I still chumra. Now, there's a very interesting discussion in the Rishonim. Just to go not off a little bit. I mean, he talks about it here at the bottom a little bit, but there's a letz. It's a machzedik on this also. There's a very interesting question. Why is a double doubt allowed?
Svek sveka.
Why is svek sveka? The first question is, it's a svek sveka double doubt.
It's not the
it's
right
a double
anymore.
Doubt.
It's not the right anymore.
Why not?
We just said when the right, there is one suffix. When there is two suffix.
So what does it do?
It becomes the rabbana.
Why?
Because there is two suffix.
Why? So the machlokes is in the Rishonim. Okay? There's two reasons why is svek sveka is mutter. And let me just introduce another very general topic in Shas, in the Rishonim. When the Torah forbids something, right? And we know Safik min haTorah, luchumra. A biblical doubt is strict, a rabbinic doubt is lenient. Now, when you say a biblical doubt is strict, is that biblically saying it's strict, or the rabbi say it's strict? In other words, if there's a biblical doubt, right? I'll give you an example. There's a piece of meat. Right? We don't know if it's kosher treif. It's a biblical doubt, right? So you're allowed to eat it? No, you're not allowed to eat it because it's a biblical doubt, right? It's a doubt. Not eating it is biblically forbidden or rabbinically forbidden?
Torah doesn't talk about the dog, no? Torah talks about the definition if it's also forbidden. So it's a very good that you talk like this. So it's a machlik's Rambam and Rashba. This
is a very famous, this whole Shuvan Samchasadik about this whole thing. The Rambam holds in many places a biblical doubt is only rabbinically forbidden. And as biblically, if it's definite, then it's a dosser. A doubt, the Torah doesn't say it's aser. The rabbis, chacham, say it's aser. Okay? The Rashba disagrees with the Rambam. And the Rashba holds a biblical doubt is biblically forbidden. Okay? It's a lot of differences between the two halachot.
It brings the proof.
It's not for no.
From the pasuk or something.
They have the various opinions. The Tzemach Tzedek brings a proof from a Gemara later that kavur kamachsadami,
yeah.
And that's asim min ha-teira, and it's only a suffix. So you see suffix asim min ha-teira. Anyway, so according to the Rambam, listen up with the. What do you need a pen? What according to the Rambam, listen to this, it's very interesting. If a doubt is only rabbinically forbidden, because Torah doesn't speak about doubts, it's only rabbinically forbidden, right? So now if you have a second doubt, it's only a doubt in a rabbinic. And what's the rule by Safed Rabbanon? Lekula. You're lenient. If the first doubt is biblical, then you can't say the second doubt is forbidden because then it's still forbidden. Right? But if you hold the first doubt, the biblical doubt, is only rabbinically forbidden, then now you have another doubt. It's a doubt on a doubt. So it's a doubt in a rabbinic law. So then you that's what the Rambam holds.
So according to Rashba, it's also regarded.
The Rashba says another reason why Sfek Sfek is also. And there's another interesting concept. Well, no. Why Sfek Sfek is mutter? Because a suffix, it's very simple math, a suffix is 50-50. Right? Now, if you have a doubt in half of it, it's 75-25. Right? One doubt is 50-50. If you have a second doubt in the forbidden part, it's 25-25. So it's 75 kosher, 25% treif. 75% allowed, 25% us. Torah says you go by a majority. Achrei rabim latis. When you have a doubt, like by the stores in the meat, yeah? If you find meat outside of a store, and you don't know which store it came from, so you go by the majority. What does the Torah say by a doubt? You go by the majority. So when there's a double doubt, then it's 75-25. So, in this case of Rabbi Lozor, when the Gemara's question is, it's a double doubt, so she should be mutter. Why? Because 75% says mutter, that she didn't sin. 25% says she did sin. So 75% rules.
So how does it work? According to Rashba, the suffix of the writer is lechumra regardless. Doesn't
no.
matter if it's 25%, 75%.
No, suffix is 50-50.
Okay.
Because,
but there is still doubt in the doraita.
Yeah, but what does the Torah say? There's a doubt. There's a doubt which store the meat comes from. What does the Torah say? You go by the majority of the stores. When Beis Din has an argument, yeah, two dayanim say one way. One dayan says another way. 13 say guilty death. 10 say not guilty death. You but give him that.
That's chaticha. This is not a chaticha. In our case here,
chaticha.
No. Meaning you can't go by majority here. What's the majority? There's no majority here. What's the majority in this case?
The majority of doubt is 75% to permit it and 25% of the doubt not to. 13 dayanim say death. 10% say no death. Yeah? What do? You kill him. There's a strong reason. 10 people are saying he's innocent. That's a strong thing. Doubt, no? But the Torah says, by doubts, you go by the majority.
Okay. One thing I don't understand. The majority, I understand. There is no case of majority here. What's the majority here? There is no majority. Number-wise, yes. You are allocating percentage. But there is no majority here. We are talking one woman and one man.
Now, there's 75% that she's innocent. 25% that she's guilty. Or not guilty and innocent. Stay allowed to stay married because she didn't sin, and there's 25% chance that she did sin. Now, if there's 75% chance that he didn't sin, and 25% chance that she did sin, so what does Torah say you go by? Torah says you go by the majority. The majority says she's innocent.
Okay. If we have one, two, three potatoes, one is not good, the other two are good, we know which one is what.
You don't know which one is which. If you know, then it's not a doubt.
No, we are.
If you find pig outside 9 kosher stores, okay, the pig is kosher, that, trade.
When we are talking about majority.
It's majority.
I don't
they
see
learn
majority.
Sex seikam itamrov.
I don't see majority here. So, I don't see majority. This is, we are talking about not quantity, quality, in a sense, we are talking.
Quality is also majority.
Found the meat outside, but it was from the store.
That's
kavua. That's
now, the Gemara learns out from a pasuk that kavua is also. Right?
Which
the Gemara Tazvav.
This is not the case of kavua?
No.
Yeah. You went inside the store, you don't remember which store you went into. Chol
kavua kamachse. I remember this one. Chol kavua kamachse dummy. And kavua is machse machse. Okay, so there's a tesis the Rebbe brings down. There's a tesis in Zvachim that says the reason why kavua is also because it's chshivas, it's not bottle. It's kavua, it's not bottle. Okay, whatever. We'll get to the Gemara of Tezvav, whatever. And over there, kavua kamachse machse dummy.
It's hard to understand.
But the bottom line is Gemara says kavua is a dat min ha-teira. Ayit ha-safik. So Tzemach Tzadik proves from that concept. There's all Shef Shemaitze here. Come on, there's Yeshiva. There's Shef Shemaitze here. There's a Tzemach Tzadik. There's tons of Mefarshim and this whole concept of Svek Sveika. And it's very interesting. If you hold Svek Sveika is because of majority, yeah, like we just said, then a Svek Sveika can never extract money. In Hochem B'mam Menachar Arov.
That's why they have to swear, no?
Huh? Yeah, but you can't extract money with a shavua.
But they swear to get out of it?
You can only swear in Torah, except a few exceptions. You only swear in Torah to get out of payment. Not to pay. Not to take, I mean. If I come to Bez and say you owe me $1,000, and there's no proof, yeah? Mm-hmm. I can't swear that you owe me the money and Bez is going to extract money. A shavua does not extract money. Rav majority doesn't extract money. Because Rav is a doubt, not a definite. When you say, we're going off a little bit. When you say, Torah says you go by the majority, is that a definite?
No.
The minority does exist.
Mm-hmm.
But Torah says, you could, follow the Rav in kosher trade. If the majority is kosher, there's an assumption that it's kosher. And Torah says, that assumption you can follow and eat the meat. Right? But to extract money, assumptions are not enough. to extract money from a muchzik, from a guy holding the money, I'm holding the money. You want to get money away from me? You can't do assumptions. It has to be definite, definitive proof. Right? Majority is not a definitive proof.
Why? Because he has money. Because he...
Because majority is a probability. What's majority? Loiv. If 9 stores sell kosher, and 1 store sells treif, and you find the meat outside the store, is it definitely from the kosher store? Or it's probable from the kosher store? It's probability that it's from the kosher store. So by Isser and Heter and things like that, the Torah says, your probability is good enough. Yeah? But to extract money, which means I'm holding money, you want to take money away from me, you can't do it by probability. Mm-hmm. Probability is not strong enough to extract money. You need definitive proof. Okay? And just because there's a majority, I don't mean of a bezdin. Majority would logically say that I owe you the money, but that's not 100%. It might be 75%. But it's not 100%. It might be 99%. But to extract money, 99% proof is not enough. You need 100% proof.
Same thing, you want to eat a non-kosher food, you want to take it out and eat it, so it's not 100%. It's the road.
You already have it.
Why no, you know what it is. Huh? No, that's only when there's a doubt. When a doubt, Torah says you follow the majority.
Oh, by the money there is no doubt?
There is a doubt, but doubt is not strong enough to take away money from the person holding it. To take away money from somebody who holds, there's a rule in Torah. That Gemara is yours?
Yes.
Yeah. How do I know? Chazaka means, we know it's your possession, was your possession, you're holding on to it, it's yours. Right? And therefore, if I see that phone that he's holding, there's no proof that it's his. Okay? If somebody sees, if you watch me grab away the phone from him, and he says, give me back my phone. Yeah? I can't say it's mine. Who's the burden of proof on?
You.
Me. Why? Why is there more burden of proof on me than him? Let him prove it. Because there's a din called chazaka. If there's an established fact that it was his and he was holding it, which establishes it's his, I can't just come and take it away on a probability. I need to prove definitively that it's mine. You sold it to me. You gave it to me. You stole it from me. Then I could prove it.
Like
and by the way, that's why the question over here about losing the ksuba, why he can't do it. What?
Well, why the chiluk? I mean, this I understand. It's not definite, so you can't affect money. Well, why in the case of the meat, you could be mamish, literally be eating the treif.
Yeah, the same Torah that says meat is forbidden says this meat is kosher.
According to Russia.
Yeah, but the case is hypothetical. Nobody is ever going to eat if he's an eat if there's a doubt on
it. Why?
Why?
In times of hunger?
What do you mean? All the weddings.
Huh?
We go to a non-kosher, they make it kosher, there is a, you know, what's
like sold? In the case of the stolen goblet, the guy goes to the guy's house, he takes his silver goblet, and he says, why did you take it? It's mine, but it's in his house. Even though it's his, he can't.
How do you remember that? It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
In Babasha. Well.
15 years ago. And 3 months.
Which day?
And a day.
Okay.
I would buy dinin if I should also we go by the roof.
Bezin goes by the roof or not?
Yeah, okay, so that's also you're taking somebody's life by the probability is not definite. We go that far? By the moment we say we don't go that far because it's a chazaka. But we take somebody's life by doubt.
You're right, but the din is by death penalty that the minority gives up their opinion to the majority. So then it becomes a definitive thing.
100%?
That's the halacha.
But they change their mind, you mean, at the end?
They have to change their mind. They have to be bottled to the majority.
They said, yeah, I agree with you.
So then it's not a doubt anymore.
Okay.
fact, there's an interesting Mordechai. Anyway, they ask a question. Bezdin is sitting in the same place. It's Kavua. How could you go by Rabbim of a Bezdin? It's Kavua, and Kavua is Kamachsa Machsa Dami. And the answer, the Mordechai answer is a phenomenal answer. He says, you go by what the Dayanim speak, and the speech is Potish. It separates. That's what he answers.
So in the case of the meat, it's similar also?
But then it's kosher. You don't want to eat it on. Let me ask you a question. Milk falls into meat because bottle b'shishim. Is it kosher?
Yeah.
Are you allowed to eat it?
Yeah.
Are you allowed not to eat it? According to many Rishonim, it's balta. If you throw it out, it's baltashkes. Because Torah says you're allowed to eat it. Okay, whatever. But the what?
Same.
The speech is Parish. Anyway, coming back to this Gemara. Okay? Kavu is Kamasa Machsa. What's Machsa Machsa? 50-50. No, and is it biblically forbidden or rabbinically forbidden? It's biblically forbidden. Kavu. So therefore, you see, Kavu is that suffix in the rice is Minaraisa.
Could you explain that when the meat is in the store, inside the store, how does that work? Forgotten.
Okay. The reason, the difference between kavua, we should wait until Tezvav, that's where the whole sugi is. But the difference between kavua and Pardish is like this. If there, again, there's 9 stores, you have a mall. There's 9 stores selling kosher meat. 1 store sells trefa meat. You find the meat outside of a store.
Outside the kosher store?
You find meat outside of a store.
What store?
Outside the common area of all the stores.
In the mall.
In the mall.
Okay, in the mall.
Now, the question is, which store did this meat come from?
Oh.
Correct? Okay. Which store did the meat come from? So the Torah says, called the Potish, Merubah Potish. If it came from a store, which store did it come from? The majority store, one of the majority stores.
So it's kosher.
The majority store is kosher.
That's only that kosher.
1 minute. Because the doubt is not on the store. The doubt is on the piece of meat that went somewhere. It came outside the store.
Maybe someone just
so 1 minute, what is the question? The question is, where did this meat come from? And the meat wasn't found in the store. The meat was found outside the store. Okay? Got it?
The question is on
Kavua,
the meat.
And the meat left the store. That's called potash, separated. Kavua is similar case, but different. The guy bought meat from a store. And now he doesn't remember which store he bought it from. Guy went into a store, okay, and he bought meat. I don't remember where I bought it. What is the doubt now?
On the store.
The doubt as in which store did he buy it?
Which one is worse? The same
thing? No, listen. So the din is, that's called kavua, because the suffix is not in something that left. The store is stationary, permanent. Right? That's called kavua. Now the din is, kavua, a guy walks, buys a piece of meat, and now the question is not on the meat. The question, which store did I buy it from? The din is, he's not allowed to eat the meat. Strafe. I, 9 stores are kosher, 1 store is strafe. Because once it's kavua, it's in a set place, it's 50-50.
Well, could you explain?
That's what the Torah says. That's what the Torah says. The Rebbe brings out Tesis and Zochem says because of Cheshivas, it's not bottle. Okay? But when the doubt is on the meat, that separated from the store. And now the doubt is, where is this meat from the store? The shot is not which store did I buy it. On the store. Now it's on the meat. The meat is separated from the stores. The Torah says, if the majority of stores are kosher, you can eat it. Because the doubt is on something which separated. So that's why the question is, the Dayanim are sitting in one place, right? The Dayanim are sitting in one place.
That's Kavua.
That's Kavua. So how can you go by the majority by Kavua? So the answer, I'm pretty sure the Marche says, it's coming out, the speech is what you pasken from, not from them. And the speech is Parish. So you go by the majority of speeches, Mutar or Asr.
So it's both of them Gezerat HaKadu or the Kavua is only?
Both. We'll see later in the Gemara.
It's a Gezerat HaKadu. Does that make sense?
So how, first of all, maybe someone outside the mall just took the meat from some other place outside the mall and stuck it somewhere by the stores.
That's far you're not afraid of. Why should somebody do that?
Some crazy people out there.
In today's day and age, you know,
there's a Shiloh Basa Shina Salomon Eye, maybe a bird, a meat that was concealed from the eye, you can't eat. So Gemara says, well, maybe a bird came and took it from one place and another place, exchanged meats, and it's far fetched, but that's a different story. That's what the Rabbanan knows.
Closer to which store?
Something that they deliver, right?
If they deliver it with a guy, chicken, meat, and fish, and cheese.
They have a double wrapping, right?
Milchiks. Milchiks are not so machma, but the milchiks also. You need a chesim to a chesim.
You need a what?
Or wine. You need a seal and a seal.
Mm-hmm. Like airport food.
See, the box itself is one seal, and then the seal on the front is in the second seal.
Closer to one of the stores, that's not a question.
Oh?
Being close to one of the stores. Closer. They meet. Which is parish. If it's close, let's say closer to the Trefes store, is that the issue or no?
No.
When it's found.
That's the Gemara later, Raven Cardiff.
Yeah, oh.
Raven Cardiff. Some of the comma, but I'm Bob Bassin. Raven Cardiff, go by Raven Cardiff. What?
If you have a maid and send it to buy meat from market, you can eat it or no?
Has to be sealed, double sealed.
That's not double sealed.
Huh? It's not so push it. Not so simple. Anyway, so this is what the Gemara says so far. Okay, we're just going to learn in the Gemara because, again, we're not learning now for 3 weeks, so then we'll come back, we'll learn the Taisis that we're trying to learn here. Okay, so Marduk says like this. Micah Mashmalon, 7 lines in the top.
What page do you want?
9A, by you it's 9A2. Okay, so Gemara asks, Micah Mashmalon, what's the Chiddush of Rabbi Lozer? That a guy is believed to make something forbidden for himself. Tanina, it says clearly in a Braisa. What's he saying? Where does it say in a Braisa? Another weird case. A guy says to a woman, Kiddashticha, I did Kedushim with you. And she says, no, you didn't.
We learned this, Kedushim.
Yeah, it's brought down the Kedushim.
He muteres.
Yeah, Kedushim. He muteres bekerevav. She can marry his close relatives. For who also bekerev yourself, but he can't marry her close relatives. Meaning like this. A guy says to a woman, hey, guess what? I did Kedushin with you. She says, no, you didn't. Okay, so she needs a get. Right? Let's say. Now, can he marry her sister? No. Because he says, you're my wife.
He's making it awesome.
He's making every relative in the world of hers awesome. I mean, that you can't marry.
Yeah.
Father, I mean, mother, daughter, for cousins, you can marry anyone. I'm saying, like, you know, sisters, whatever. She never agreed to the Kedushin. So she can marry his relatives.
He needs to give a get?
Well, look, she would need a get, because how else can she get married?
No. He said, I made a kiddushin with you. She said, no. He has to give her a get?
Yeah.
How could the kiddushin chal like
that? She can't marry a kohen. Maybe he did this inspired. Maybe he knew that she liked this particular kohen. And so he said, well, I betrothed you. So in other words, she can't marry this kohen now.
She has to agree.
She has to get a get because he says I married
her. She can't marry a kohen.
Correct.
But the problem, let's say this guy thought about himself. Well, she likes this kohen guy, right? This kohenim guy, right? So I'm going to marry her. I'm going to ask her to marry me. She's going to say no. But then she can't marry this other guy.
Only she got a get.
But she can't get married a kohen because kohen can't marry a divorcee.
That's what I'm saying. If she gets a get, then the kohen can't marry her.
Huh?
The kohen can't marry her, only she got a get from the first guy.
No, but the kohen can't marry a divorcee.
That's what Rabbi is saying.
Right. I understand what you ask. You're asking a good question. Because if, let's say this girl wants to marry a kohen.
Yeah.
Okay? And this guy wants to marry the girl, but she doesn't want to marry him.
Yeah.
Okay? So he's going to say, hey, I did kedushin with you.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to say, no, I didn't. Now, does she need a get or not?
You said yes.
Let's say she says yes.
Oh.
Let's say that loch is yes. So she can't marry the guy that she wanted to marry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know. You have to look up again.
Was that a good answer? Was that a good question?
Yeah. The best.
Brilliant.
I'm going to have a lollipop for you next
time. Oh, that's good.
Anyway, so the question over here is like this. What's Rabbi Lazar basically saying over here? That a guy can forbid a woman, even though she might not be forbidden to him. Right? He says, that a guy can make a woman forbidden for him, it says in the Mishnah. What do we need Rabbi Lazar for? Rabbi Lazar says, a guy is believed to forbid all these relatives by what he said. Right? So what's Rabbi Lazar saying? It's an obvious Mishnah. What's the chiddush of Rabbi Lazar?
The Mishnah that we have.
Right. So the Gemara answers, Ma'o de teimas and vade kimli. Over there, the Mishnah speaking, when the guy says, I know for sure I did kedushin with her. Yeah?
Hatam?
No, when he says, I did kedushin with you.
Oh, okay.
The Mishnah. Oh, okay. Over there is definitive.
Okay.
But over here, he doesn't know for sure. He claims to have found open entrance. Do we really know if he found one or not? There's still a doubt. So maybe over here, Rabbi Lazar would hold, he doesn't forbid her? Because not really. When a guy says, I did kedusha with you, he's saying a definite statement. Right? Mm-hmm. So then the case would be, yes, she's asr, because he said it definitively. But in our case, maybe it wouldn't be asr for him. Because he doesn't know 100%. Do we know 100% sure? We don't know 100% sure.
No, the same thing. It's exactly the same thing because both is suffix. He's saying, I'm saying the definite thing, but how do maybe he's lying? The same thing by the Betula, he says, you know, the same thing.
Yeah, but over there, when a guy says, I did it, he's saying it definitively. Here, even if he says, Pesach Metzuch Metzad, that she committed adultery, he's not saying a definitive statement.
He's not?
He doesn't know. How does he know?
He is definite.
Maybe it happened before the Kedushin.
He is definite. We are talking, we don't think he is definite.
Yeah. We don't know.
He also says, I think.
No.
There's no proof. If he has proof, she loses the Ksuba too.
Well, who said that there is a proof that says, you know, I'm a Kaddish?
But he says it's a definitive statement.
Yeah, he says in Mekah.
Now what? Petzuk Petzuk Matzasi. Does he know exactly what happened? He wasn't there. Okay.